We're going to take some time and teach a lesson, I believe, that a refresher for some, but it's going to be I believe for all of us, and I make that statement in faith. I believe that every time we come to open the Word of God, that we believe we're going to receive something from it. And I believe that all of us will receive something from it. Every time we open the Word of God, the Word says it is spirit and life. So that means that the Word of God should speak to our hearts and should reveal something that we didn't see before. And I believe that for all those that are tuning in and will tune in, I believe that there's going to be something that is shared that will stir your heart and stir you to action. And that's kind of where we're going. The lesson is faith involves action, or you could say it demands action. So anything that we do in faith, it requires an action. Just even in the natural, things that we believe, there's an action that's involved with that. So if I say I believe something, or I'm stirred to do something, even in the natural, it doesn't really mean anything. It's just talk if there's no action to it. Just in the natural, if you took just a natural thing, if you took a husband and wife and they said, I love you, but they never showed any action, then what, somebody begin to question that. Same thing. God's, in John 3:16, he said how God so loved the world that he did something. So faith always involves an action. And without faith, it says that it's impossible to please God. So you could really say that without a corresponding action, because even that, the scripture says that without faith, it's impossible. Hebrews 11:6, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that what cometh to God must believe that he is. So that means there's an action involved. There's an action involved where you have to come to God believing that he is. And he said he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. So anything that we, when we talk about faith, it's not just believing. We believe and then there's a corresponding action. So we're just believing, and we expect that as we speak the Word of God this evening, there'll be a stirring, a revelation in your heart that you'll see something you didn't see before. So we're going to pick up this evening where we left off on Sunday. We were talking about fighting the good fight of faith, trusting in the Lord. So let's open up with that scripture this evening in the Amplified Classic of Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. We're familiar with Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 with the King James, trust in the Lord with all thy heart, lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he'll direct my path. But let's look at the Amplified. It says, lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. It didn't say don't use it, just says don't rely on it. Don't put all your trust in that. Use it. But it says what? Trust in the Lord. So verse 6 in the Amplified, it says, in all your ways know, recognize, and acknowledge him, and he will direct and make straight and plain your paths. So when we talk about trusting in God, and we're talking about Hebrews 11:6, he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and he is a what? A rewarder of those that diligently seek him. when we trust in God and we put our trust in him, then what does it mean when it says here, he'll direct my path and make plain my paths? Well, you know, it's an interesting thing. People will speak this and say, oh, yes, I trust the Lord. Glory to God. And then a little pressure hits their life. And you'd think they were without any kind of direction. And they talk, well, I don't know what we're going to do. I'm not sure how we're going to make it. And yet they turn around and say, I believe God. I trust God. Well, it doesn't sound like it. And this is what we're talking about, that your faith must have a corresponding action. Well, the first corresponding action is really what you say, what comes out of your mouth. And, you know, we all deal with this. You know, sometimes we need to be reminded, who do you say you trust in? And it's not to ding anybody or to, you know, put anybody down, but we need to be reminded. We need to be reminded that, you know, the scripture is very clear in 2 Corinthians 4:13. You know, we're talking about faith. Well, then the spirit of faith, then we're talking about faith. And so what does it say in 2 Corinthians 4:13? It says, we, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, therefore, says, I believed, and therefore have I what? Spoken. And then it goes on, it says, we also believe, and therefore speak. So when we speak, it's a reflection of what we believe. So when we get off base and we're looking at the circumstances so much, a lot of times we're talking about the circumstances and not our trust in the Lord. Now, did I say, you know, faith is does not exempt you from issues in life. You know, just being a Christian, if anything, you're more of a target. And so for the enemy to do what? To steal from you, to get you so that you don't walk in the blessings of God. So for us, we need to just keep our thoughts, you know, what when we say we believe and therefore speak, what your faith is tied to what you see. And when I say that, faith in things natural are tied to what you see. People talk that. They say, well, we can't make it because of what we're going through. Well, your faith is in that, and you won't. But faith is tied to what you see. And faith, you could say, and again, Hebrews 11:1. Now, in the King James, now faith what? Is. Not going to be. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So seeing something is not just necessarily seeing something in the natural, but it's I see myself prospering. I see myself overcoming this obstacle. And we all face different types of obstacles in life, but what are we saying about those obstacles? You know, even if somebody says, well, we're walking through this, but God supplies all of our needs. I'm walking through this, but by his stripes I have been healed. Himself, Matthew 8:17, himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. So are you saying what the doctor's saying, or are you saying what you believe? In other words, are you believing him? Are you trusting in him? Are you confident in him to do what he said he will do? And so this is the part where we have to keep our eyes on the Word of God. That's why it says in Proverbs 4, my son, attend unto my words, incline thine ears unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. And then it goes on and it talks about, you know, not letting them depart, but we have to keep them in the midst of our heart, and we have to stir ourselves up. And when we don't feel like, you know, faith, how often we've said this, faith is not a feeling. You know, when you don't feel like, how many have done something, but they really didn't feel like doing it? But you did it anyways. Why did you do it? Because either you love that person, but did you feel like doing it? No, you didn't feel like doing it, but out of love. And this is what Galatians said, faith works by love. So out of our love, either for someone, the love of God for someone, we will do something. Well, that's not just talk now, that's acting upon something that you believe. I'm believing the best of this person. I love this person. God has put a love in my heart, and I'm going to do something. There's an action involved. So it wasn't just talk. And the same thing, we love God. So what do? We honor him with our substance. And that's why it says, bringing you all the tithe into the storehouse. And so because I love him and I want to see his work expanded in the earth and I want to support the things that he raises up, then I'm going to sow into the kingdom of God. Well, because I love God, I honor him with my substance. Well, there's action to that. And God said what? In 2 Corinthians 9, he said in verse 10, he said, he that giveth what? Seed to the sower gives bread for food, both give minister bread for food, and then he does what? He multiplies your what? Your seed sown, and then increases the fruits of your righteousness. Well, he's doing something in my life because what? I sowed some seed. And so it's the same thing, that when we act in faith, when we come unto God in faith, then he responds. And he does what? He fulfills his word. He watches, Isaiah 55:11. He watches over his word to perform it. So God watches over his word to perform it. But we need to act upon the word that we believe. So without action, without an action, there's no fulfillment. So let's I know I got off a little bit here, but let's take a look at Romans 10:17, familiar scripture verse. In the King James, it says, faith comes by hearing, or the King James cometh. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So that word in the Greek is rhema, which is the revealed word of God. God reveals to us in his word what he wants us to see. He unfolds the word of God to us. So when we see something in the word of God, and we all don't see, you know, as we're growing, we may see something in the word of God, and the scripture in James 4:17, it says, therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So what does that mean? That's tied to action. That means if I know I'm supposed to do something, what does that mean? I now see something in the word of God. So we're all quick, you know, we say, oh, we have to hear, we have to hear, we have to hear. But God reveals in his word something that we should do. And then when we know to do it, but we don't, then that is sin for us. And we need to, you know, I mean, when we miss it, we say, you know what, Lord, I need to do that. I'm sorry. Be quick to respond. Be quick to act. And how do we, how is faith grow? How is it perfected? How does it come to perfection or maturity? It's by taking steps. It's by moving in the direction that God revealed. So if he reveals something to you, maybe he says, you know, you're not walking in love towards that person. Well, it didn't say you wanted to walk in love. He reveals to you there's an area that he wants you to grow up in, and he reveals that to you. But when you back off and you say, well, I'm not going to do that, for you, it is sin. What does that mean? You're just missing the mark. You're not obeying him. You're not obeying the Spirit of God. God, by his Spirit, is what? Revealing. He's sent to help us and reveal and unfold the Word of God to us. So for us, when revelation comes, when light comes in the Word of God, we should what? Do what? We should move in that direction. Take a step. Even if you say, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do this, but I'm going to trust you to empower me to do that. You know, it can be however that is. You know, you might be, maybe you have a health issue in your body and it looks impossible. And you say, well, I don't know how that's ever going to change. The doctor said so, and another doctor said so, and you know, you've gone through life with something, but that doesn't mean it can't change. Himself took my infirmities and he bore my sicknesses. And so with his stripes, we have been healed. We are healed. So it may look impossible, but the first step is to do what? To say, I believe God's word. I believe himself took my sicknesses and my diseases and they're paid for. And so I refuse. You begin, when somebody believes, then they begin to do what? They begin to say, I'm healed. And that, you know, again, for individuals that are walking in the natural, that may be difficult for some because they're saying, well, yeah, but I'm not healed. My body's not healed. I didn't say what your body is saying. I didn't say what your natural circumstance is saying, because faith, when we believe in faith, we therefore speak. What are we speaking? Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, what I'm expecting. It's the evidence, my faith is the evidence of something not seen yet. So it may be that the doctor has said this. This may be that the doctor said, you know, unless you do this, you have to stand up and say, yeah, but you know, you don't know something that I know. I'm healed in the name of Jesus. Now, you may get a lot of pushback and a lot of laughter from that, but if you're convinced of the Word of God, that's where faith is. In other words, everybody will say, oh, yes, I have faith. I see something in the Word of God. I've got confidence. I have faith. But then are they speaking and saying what they believe? Or are they seeing and saying something that they see and have in the natural? So this is where it demands an action. And so let's go back and let's, you know, we were looking at James chapter 1, verse 22, 23, and 24. And then let's look at the New Living Translation of this. And it's a wonderful scripture here. It'll help us. James chapter 1, starting in verse 22, this is the New Living. It says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourself. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. Now, that may seem like a little strange, but let me paint it. Let's paint a natural picture. How many of us in life, we've seen something, or we just have an aha moment? It could be in the Word of God, or it could be just something naturally. And if we don't write it down and we don't, you know, pay attention, how many of us here, and I know I include myself in this, and I've determined that when revelation comes, when thoughts come, I immediately write them down. I'll either send myself an email, I'll write a note. You know, we've got so many tools now. We can voice it in, we can type it in. I mean, I've got devices laying around, and when something comes, I immediately jot it down. Because that's honoring a revelation, that's honoring God by paying attention to something that was revealed to you. And when we don't, it's almost as saying, it's like saying, oh, yeah, I'll get to it. And what happens? The further we get away from that insight, from that revelation, from that knowing, what happens? You get further away from it, and we forget. And a week later, a day later, a week later, a month later, you're going, what was that thought I had? And you don't remember. And that's exactly what this scripture is saying here. It says, for verse 23, for in James 1, it says, for if you listen to the word only and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. I mean, you can see, you have clarity, right? You see yourself, you walk away, and you forget what you look like. Or you forget what you saw clearly. So for us, when God reveals something, when He's graced us and been gracious enough and loves us so much that He's always looking for ways to reveal something so we can come up a little higher, so we can push a little further to do what? Be a blessing. You know, a lot of times when He reveals things to us, it's not always at the most convenient time, is it? When something, like if He says, you know, He wants to get something to you in your life, He's looking for you to do what? An action, to do something, to sow, because without sowing, there's no reaping. Without sowing, there's no harvest. So when God reveals something, it's usually we're going to have to do something, and a lot of times it pinches. You know, it's like, Lord, this is not, you know, this is not the most convenient time for me to do this. But He's looking for us to act. And so even if we just take the steps, if we walk away and say, the things in life this year in 2024, I'm going to be the most prosperous. Lord, I'm going to honor You with the things that You show me. I'm going to jot them down, and I'm putting an action plan in place, and I'm moving in that direction. And I believe You and trust You, and I'm not going to do what? Lean to my understanding. Because that's where reason, when He gives us something or shows us something, usually, most times, what happens? Reason jumps right up in our thinking, in our minds, and go, how am I going to do that? How can I do that? Or fear grips us. You know, I was listening to something from Pastor Hagen. You know, they have winter Bible seminars, so I was listening to that, and he was just sharing about how last night when his dad, Brother Hagen, went home to be with the Lord in 2003, he said, you know, that now all of a sudden he always supported his dad. He always was there in a position of support to help. And he said, now all of a sudden, he said, we all, now the weight and the responsibility was on my shoulders. And he said, fear gripped me. And he said, you know, thoughts came. And he said, I had to stir myself up. He said, don't think that thoughts didn't come. Don't think that, you know, he said, thoughts came saying, you're going to run this ministry into the ground. You're going to ruin it. You know, your dad built it, and now you're going to ruin it. All these kind of thoughts came. He said, I had to take what I've always done and stir myself up in the Word of God and say, no. He said, I'm trusting the Lord. He's our provider. He's our helper. Because he said, when his dad went home to be with the Lord, they had, you know, almost like a mass exodus. He said, now, you know, they have a very large ministry. And he said, one third or more than that of all their finances, just people just stopped giving. And he said, he had to trust God. He had to believe that he didn't bring them all this far to just leave them. So you're not exempt. Any of us are exempt from things that we're going to face, difficult things that we'll face, but we need to do what? Not step back and retreat, but faith always sees the, you know, God working in the midst, and faith is always there to do what? Speak what they believe. And so we live by faith and we walk by faith, and the spirit of faith, which we have, this is what Paul said to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians 4:13, we having the same spirit of faith. He said, what? According as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. So when we get into tough spots, we need to just speak by faith what we believe and not the circumstances. So this is the action. So let's continue. In James chapter 2, and starting in verse 14, I want to read this from the King James briefly, and then we'll look at the Weymouth translation. But James chapter 2, starting in verse 14, it said, what good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? This is the King James version of James 2:14. Says, I'll read it again. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but don't show it by your actions? You know, we've done that ourselves. We say, oh yes, I'm believing God, and then you turn around and your actions say something else. And then it goes on. Can that kind of faith save anyone? And then there's examples here in verse 15. Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing. And verse 16, and you say goodbye and have a good day, stay warm and eat well, but then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? And verse 17, so you see, faith by itself isn't enough unless it produces good deeds, right? There's an action. What does it say? It is dead and useless. So without an action, your faith is useless. It's not going to produce anything. So let's continue. Verse 18. Now someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds, but I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? Or in other words, how can you show me your faith if there's no action involved? There's no, in this case, no deeds. I will show you my faith by my good deeds. So he's saying, my faith with a corresponding action is what I'm going to show you. Verse 19, you say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God, good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. How foolish! Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? In verse 22, it says, you see, his faith and his actions worked together. His actions did what? Verse 22, his actions made his faith complete, or you could say mature. Verse 23, and so it happened, just as the scriptures say, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. He was even called the friend of God. So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do, not by faith alone, or just not by what we believe, but there has to be something that we do. Verse 25, Rahab the prostitute is another example. She was shown to be right with God by her actions when she hid those messengers and sent them safely away by a different road. Verse 26, just as the body is dead without breath, so also faith is dead without good works. So there has to be faith requires a corresponding action. There must be an action, otherwise your faith is useless. It's not going to produce anything. You can say I believe all you want, but unless there's a corresponding action, unless you're taking steps in that direction, and God knows, you know, how did you get to where you are in life? In other words, you took steps. So in other words, when somebody said, I believe I'm going to go and get a further education, what did they do? They took steps. Did they just jump up and get their four-year degree or whatever they were pursuing? No, it took steps. They made some decisions to move in that direction. Well, it's the same thing. When we have faith, there must be a corresponding action, and you need to start moving or taking steps in that direction. So a lot of times when individuals are you know, dealing with health issues, you know, they look at this big mountain, and your faith is never going to move your mountain until you move your mouth. You know, when we move our mouth, it begins to move our mountains. And that's the whole point, that we take steps. We move in that direction. Does it mean we may fall or trip or, you know, whatever? Yeah, but get up and keep moving in that direction. Now let's read the Weymouth translation of James chapter 2, starting in verse 14. It says, what good is it, my brethren, if a man professes to have faith, and yet his actions do not correspond? Can such faith save him? Well, we know the answer is no. Verse 15, suppose a Christian brother or sister is poorly clad or lacks daily food. And one of you says to them, I wish you well, keep yourselves warm and well fed, and yet you do not give them what they need. What is the use of it? Or what is the use of that? In verse 17, so also faith. So in other words, now we're coming back to faith here. He's using an example, we'll come back to faith. So also faith, if it is unaccompanied by obedience, has no life in it, so long as it stands alone. In other words, there's no action, there's no obedience. Verse 18, nay, someone will say, you have faith, I have actions. Prove to me your faith apart from corresponding actions, and I will prove mine to you by my actions. You believe that God is one, and you are quite right. Evil spirits also believe this and shudder. Verse 20, but idle boaster, are you willing to be taught how it is that faith apart from obedience is worthless? Whew. So faith apart from an action is worthless. And this is what we were reading on Sunday, that, you know, faith without some kind of an action is you're being deceived. And so now here, let me continue. In verse 20, it says, take the case of Abraham, our forefather. Verse 21, was it or was it not because of his actions that he was declared to be righteous as the result of him, of his having offered up his son Isaac upon the altar? Verse 22, you notice that his faith was cooperating with his actions, and that by his actions, his faith was perfected. You know, so many of us saying, oh, I want my faith to be perfected, but how is that going to happen? You know, I read there were stories about his last name was Mueller, George Mueller, and he lived back in the 1800s, I believe, and he started, and he said, you know, he built these orphanages, and it was all based on believing God for the funds. And it said, he made a statement, he said, it's easy, he said, it's just as easy now to believe for $1 million as it was when I was believing for $1 or $2 when we started. And if you read his biography and story, it's an amazing story how they just believed God when they didn't have funds or money. The money would come and the food would come to support the orphanage. And so without your faith cooperating with an action, it's useless. It's powerless. And verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which says, and Abraham believed God, and his faith was placed to his credit as righteousness. And he received the name of God's friend, Verse 24, you all see that it is because of actions that a man is pronounced righteous, not simply because of his faith. Well, that's Romans 10, 9, and 10. There has to be a corresponding action to be saved. You believe and confess. And so, verse 25 in the Weymouth, it says, in the same way, also was not the notorious sinner Rahab declared to be righteous because of her actions when she welcomed the spies and hurriedly helped them to escape another way. Verse 26, for just as a human body without a spirit is lifeless, so also faith is lifeless if it is unaccompanied by obedience. So we can see from these scriptures that there must be, in order for it to be true, powerful faith, faith must be accompanied by an action. There must be obedience to something that we see. Oh, you know, I may see something in the Word of God, and we who teach the Word of God, who are responsible to share the Word of God, are prompted to share things to help us see something in the Word of God. And we trust that when we share it, you see something. Well, when you see something, it's not to come and tell me, and I don't mind if you do, praise God, that was an amazing message. Okay, what did you see, and what are you now going to do with what you see? And so that's the most important thing. And God gets the honor when we see something and then we obey, we do something with what we see. So that we can then what? Become productive, and we can be used by God in a greater measure in the ways that he's called us. So again, I trust that you got a little something from this. To me, this is stirring in me today that faith, true faith, faith is spiritual. And faith needs to have a corresponding action. And so for us, you know, we have ministers that come in and guests that come in and share the word of God. And I like what Reverend Annie Durant has been sharing the last few times over the few years that have been with us. Let's become better at being a spirit. What does that mean? That I have a relationship with God. And because of that relationship, by his spirit, the greater one lives in me, and he's revealing to me the truth from God's word so I can grow in faith. But it requires some action on my part. And when I act upon the word of God, then the power of God is released in my life, and God can begin to do some things that up to that point may have been just impossible to do. So praise God. Trust you got something from that. Meditate upon it and grow thereby. Praise God. Well, before we end the broadcast, we want to just give those that may be watching an opportunity to receive Christ. If you don't know him and you've never asked him to come into your heart, then this is an opportunity for you. You know, we love everyone. We love you. God loves you. He sent his son to die for you. And he's not looking how you lived your life, or he may even be living your life. But he loves you right where you are. And he desires for you to make a decision for him based on the things that he did for you. He died for you. He took your sins, as it says in Ephesians, even when we were yet sinners, he died for us. And so if you're watching and you've never done that, you've never asked Jesus to come into your heart, the scripture in Romans 10, 9 and 10 said that we're to believe that Jesus is the Christ, and confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, it said you'll be saved. Thou shalt be. That means you will be, shall be saved. And he'll come in and take up residence, and he will change your spirit to a brand new spirit instantly. So if you're watching, let's say this simple prayer. Father God, I believe that you sent Jesus to this earth in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. Jesus came for me, and he took my sins and the sins of all the world and mankind and took them to hell. And when sin was paid for, we were released and raised from the dead. I was raised from the dead with him and made new in Christ, and I confess that he is my Savior, and I confess that he was raised from the dead, and I ask you to come into my heart, make something new of me, cleanse me with your blood, and I confess with my mouth that I am saved. Well, if you said that and you meant that from your heart, then the scripture is very clear that you are saved. Now, you may not understand what happened to you, but if you'll just write us or email us, let us know, or call us, and let us know that you accepted Christ, then we'll send you some free information as to who you just became and what happened to you. God bless.